Okay, good evening, everyone. Be'ez Hashem, we are going to continue with the positive commandments of Shabbos. And last night, we started discussing the mitzvah of netilas yadayim, of washing before bread. That is, of course, a mitzvah that is important to know throughout the week as well, but it is something that we all do on Shabbos, so we are going to spend a few classes discussing netilas yadayim. Last night, we spoke about the two reasons that the Mishnah Berurah brings for the reason for washing netilas yadayim, and we said a very important halacha in regards to how much bread needs to be eaten to be obligated to make the bracha of Asher Kitchanu B'mitzvah Sovitzivonu al netilas yadayim. And we said that according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's two kezayis. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Vilna Gaon, it's one kezayis or more. But we said to wash is even less than a kezayis. Even a tiny morsel of bread, you need to make hamotzi and wash. But as far as the bracha, we said that was a machlokes, either one kezayis or two kezayis. And this is referring to the bread itself, not a combination of the other foods with it. As far as the bread itself. Another halacha, which we did not discuss yet. Let's say you are feeding somebody else. You are feeding a child, or you are feeding an elderly person, or feeding a sick person. So you are the one touching the bread. But the halacha is that you do not need to wash. Since you are not the one eating, you're just the one touching the bread, the Mishnah Berurah brings that the takana, the decree of washing, was only made for the person eating, not for the one feeding somebody else. And, as we just mentioned, the eater, the one who is eating, does need to wash netilas yadayim, even with a bracha, even if they are not touching the food. And there are two reasons given. The Mishnah Berurah says because what we call a low plug, we do not differentiate whether you're touching the bread, you're not touching the bread, it doesn't make a difference. If you're eating the bread, you need to wash. Even if you're using a fork and knife, or somebody is feeding you, you need to wash. And the second reason is, Shulchan Aruch Rav says, the second reason is that we say simply, you may come to touch the bread. You think you're not going to touch the bread, but you may come to touch the bread. So that is easy to remember, that the one feeding somebody else does not need to wash, but the one eating does need to wash, even if they are not touching the bread. The procedure for washing, as you all know, is to wash the right hand first two times, then the left hand two times. The right is considered more chashev, even for a lefty. And preferably, of course, you understand, to pour the water on your right hand first, you need to hold the cup in your left hand. But preferably, a person should take the cup in their right hand, then hand it to the left hand, and then pour twice on the right hand to take the cup for the mitzvah with the right hand. That is considered more chashev. The bracha that we make on a mitzvah is almost always made over lasiyasan. Over lasiyasan means before the act of the mitzvah. This was a halacha that we discussed by the halachas of Hadlakas Neros, Lich mentioned Friday night. So technically, a person really should make the bracha of al netilas yadayim before they wash their hands. The mitzvah is washing their hands. Really, you should make the bracha before you even pour the water on your hands. However, you can't, because many times our hands are not clean from the bathroom or from touching covered parts of the body. So therefore, the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Kufnin Tes, that we make the bracha after we wash. We pour the water on our hands, like we just mentioned, and then you make the bracha. And we all do that. But the halacha is that you should make the bracha before you dry your hands. Because the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, that drying the hands are part of the mitzvah. Drying their hands are with a towel is also part of the mitzvah. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah explains that when we make the bracha before we dry our hands, even though it's after we wash, but it's before we dry our hands, that is somewhat of over lasiyasan, in a way that is also considered as if we made the bracha before the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is not 100% complete. We washed, but we did not dry our hands, so therefore it's important to make the bracha before we dry our hands. And the Shulchan Aruch says very strong things about somebody who eats without drying their hands. You have to make sure by the time you eat your bread, challah, a matzah, whatever it is, that your hands are totally, totally dry. But we make the bracha before we dry our hands. Very important. Because of this, a person is not allowed to talk after they wash their hands before they make their bracha. A lot of people do not realize this, and they think that they're just not allowed to talk after the bracha of al netilas yadayim, but before they are allowed to. It's totally not true. It's worse to talk before the bracha, because the bracha is on the washing. The washing you did already. You're not allowed to make an interruption, a hefsik, between the washing and the bracha. If somebody by mistake talks before they make their bracha on the Tilas Yadayim, they must wash again. And you're not allowed to say amen to any other bracha of Anotil Sidayim somebody else is making in the kitchen. After you wash, before you make your bracha, there's absolutely no talking, no amens, nothing. And if you do, you need to wash your hands again. So that is a very important halacha. And of course, we're going to get to Bez Hashem, as far as, let's say you finished drying your hands already and you didn't make the bracha on the bread yet. What about talking over there? That we all know, you're not allowed to talk, right? So, we'll see about those halachas. That's not as strict, but Bez Hashem, we'll see those halachas. But that's important to know as far as washing and then making the bracha, and not, definitely not to talk before you make the bracha on the washing. And we mentioned last night, and we discussed last week, halachas in regards to getting prepared and getting ready for Shabbos. And there's a Gemara that I saw last night, and I looked up last night, in a famous Gemara, it's Gemara Gittin Davav, that says that when a man tells the people in his house, he gives them instructions, Erev Shabbos, to do this, Yisaretim, Yiravtim, Edliku Asaner, make sure you do this, make sure you do that, it says to make sure, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that you should say it very calmly, and very peacefully, and very nicely. You should not bring Eima Yisera, extra fear, barking orders at people. And this is not only true for the men, of course this is true for the women as well, that a person needs to be calm and give instructions to people calmly and nicely. And the Mefarshim tell us that it's, first of all, people won't listen to you. You know, no one wants to listen to instructions if it's barked out and no one feels appreciated and it's just tension and lachatz and pressure and nobody wants that in the house. But the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that the Yetzer Hara dances around the house on Erev Shabbos. It's a time for Kedusha, and at such a time, that specifically is the time that the Yetzer Hara tries to get involved. Why is it that it's so tense Erev Shabbos? That's because of the fact that the Yetzer Hara tries to make things go wrong and tries to make pressure in the house. All the times, you know, I would say 50% of the times that people rush to the emergency room because their kids need stitches, somehow it always happens on Friday afternoon. Not always, but at least 50% of the time is 7 days a week is Friday against the other six. Somehow that's just the way the Yetzer Hara works, to try to bring lachatz and pressure on a Friday afternoon. And besides, a very important lesson that I experienced today in two different ways is that so many things happen, small things happen, and it's just so not important. You know, your kids put on their Shabbos clothes and then they get dirty even before Shabbos even starts, and you start screaming at them. I mean, you, of course, anybody here, but this is something that a person needs to be so careful with, and these things are all such small things in the realm of life. These things are nothing. They're just so nothing. And I saw the video today that I don't know how long ago it came out, but today was the first time I saw the video about the child Rafal Yoel Ozer. I saw it today for the first time and for the second time. I needed to watch it again. And at the end of the video, I mean, there's so much to learn from that video about the power of tefillah and how much it could accomplish. But I saw at the end of the video, it said, "Thank you, Hashem." And I believe it even had Rafal Yoel Ozer even saying, "Thank you, Hashem." And at the end of such a video, those of you who have seen it, to say thank you, Hashem, not just please Hashem for the future, but to be able to look at the past and see the thank you. And we've mentioned before that about looking in the positive, it's much easier for some people to look at the positive than others. Some people have great nisyonos as far as looking at the positive. But to be able to see what has happened in the past few months, in the past 4 months, and to say thank you, to look, to focus on the positive, to me was such an incredible lesson, how a person could totally focus on negative, and just the opposite, a person can focus on the positive, how good things are, and how Hashem can bless somebody and give shefa and bracha. And this afternoon I went to Tinek to be Menachem Avil, Mrs. Lovi, someone who lives here in Passaic, and I know she comes to my shiurim and she listens on the phone, and she was telling me about her mother. She was telling me about the Holocaust, and she said that her mother sent one of the granddaughters back when they went to Auschwitz, you know, on a trip, and she told her which barracks to go to, and she said, say a kapitul tilim. Which kapitul tilim? Haydul Hashem ki toiv kilu adam chastai. And if you would ask me, like, which kapitul tilim to say by the barracks in Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen, I don't know, gam ki elech begeitz amoves, something sad, something like that. No. The kapitul tilim that was chosen, she said to say, was Haydul Hashem ki toiv kilu adam chastai. And twice today, I experienced that lesson, that it's something we all know, but it's something that we have to ingrain in ourselves, that there's a lot of bad that happens, and everything, of course, is for the best. But it's so hard to see sometimes. But a person needs to focus on the positive and to know that these things, so many things that happen to us, are really, really small. And you could look at other situations and see real nisyonos that people need to go through, and how they're able to strive and to grow from it and to spread inspiration from it. That is something that we need to keep in mind 7 days a week, but for sure on Friday afternoon when it's a tense time, and we have to be careful not to get upset about the little things and to try to focus on how much good that we have in our lives. And Hashem should continue to bless Rafael Yoel Ozer and all of the Chaylim and all of tragedies, to put the end to all of our tzaras in all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, everybody should have a good night.